is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is, friends, on this Thursday night. Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Man, is Daniel Jones lucky that Sam Darnold exists? 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN here for the next couple of hours on Twitter. At Chris Carlin, that's at C-H-R-A-S-C-A-R-L-I-N. By all means, we want to hear from you. We will get involved on the phones very early, and we have plenty to discuss. And we, of course, have week three of the Locks of Incompetence on the way. Which, by the way, so far, not working out too badly. You might want to pay attention and get out the pen. You know, we've spent so much time this week talking about Sam Darnold, and understandably so, right? He has been not very good. He is working with a head coach that you honestly have to wonder right now whether or not it's the right combination, and I think that's putting it mildly. And he obviously does not have a whole lot to work with as far as his weapons go. Offensively. But there is so much surrounding him and whether or not Sam is really the guy for the long term of the New York Jets. And that has dominated all of the discussion. And understandably so. Daniel Jones has flown under the radar a bit. The other night I gave you a stat from Pro Football Focus that ranked him as the quarterback that threw two games was number 10 in the league. And that's hard to imagine that he has played at that level. And frankly, I don't think he has. I think that probably takes into account a lot of things. The fact that the Giants have allowed 56 pressures through two games, and that's second in the league, is probably accounted for in there. The fact that they have gone up against two pretty good defenses so far with the Steelers and the Bears. And the fact that for the majority of the game last week, he didn't have his best running back in there and his best weapon overall in Saquon Barkley, and is not going to have him for the rest of the year. But if we're being truthful about it, Daniel Jones has not played well. Not at all. Two touchdowns, three interceptions so far, and the turnovers, they continue to be an issue. Look, it's early in year two. We are not at the point that we are with Sam Darnold quite simply because of time. And yeah, he's working with a new offensive coordinator in Jason Garrett, who is supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, right? He gets the most out of quarterbacks, develop Dak. Tony Romo, done an amazing job in his career with quarterbacks. So you hope that that's the same with Daniel Jones here. But frankly, Jones has lucked out in that we're paying attention more to what Sam isn't doing right now. And that's not playing well. Jones hasn't played well. You know, I want to take you to something that Sam said earlier today. And there's been a lot written and said about whether or not this is going to be the right combo for a head coach and a quarterback, because this was what Adam Gase was brought here to do, to develop Sam. Listen to what Sam had to say in regards to that, and we'll explain how it applies in a moment.
Yeah, you know, I think my job is to, you know, execute the play and, you know, find completions, put the ball in the end zone. That's all that matters. And then at the end of the day, people judge me and the head coach on wins and losses. Those are the only things that matter to me. So anything else, it just doesn't matter.
Well, they're the only things that matter, period, wins and losses, right? I mean, for quarterbacks, it is about a little bit more than that, because you don't want to have a younger quarterback or a guy that you consider your franchise quarterback and he's, you know, average or not playing great, but the other facets of your team pick up the slack for that. Generally speaking, it is not the case that a quarterback can play average football and be picked up by everyone else unless he has a special team. A quarterback has to play at a high level, especially these days, for his team to win consistently. So that takes us to Jones, who has not played at that high level consistently. Jones has had more brilliant flashes. He has, when he has been a bright spot, has lit up the sky. And that's been incredibly encouraging. A couple of those four touchdown, no interception games last season. Boy, that woke you up, didn't it? Maybe, just maybe we have something special here. But again, what's it about? Consistency. And so far, he hasn't looked great. I'm going to absolutely give him a pass with the fact that he has Cam Fleming and a rookie in Andrew Thomas as his tackles, and the fact that Thomas has frankly played poorly so far, yes, against intense pass rushing teams, but he has still not played well. So now you have Jones, who through 15 games, has got 25 turnovers, 12 fumbles lost, 13 interceptions, and he has fumbled it 19 times. So potential turnovers, actually 32. Fortunate that only 12 of the 19 were recovered by the other team. This has to get so much better for Daniel Jones, and he might actually get a pass for this season. He might actually get a pass primarily because Darnold is the guy that's going to be catching all the heat. If Jones has a second season like Darnold did, we might have a real problem there too. I think Jones has got ability. I really do. I think he's got a chance. But I'm certainly not in the camp that this is so much more of a lock than Darnold at this point. I don't know how you can be. He's a very, very, very talented guy who has shown in those flashes that he can be brilliant. But that describes an awful lot of quarterbacks who washed out of the league. So I would say that at the end of this season, Daniel Jones ought to send Sam Darnold something that is a, you know, just trying to make him feel better. If things haven't gone well, send him a little something. Thanks for taking the heat off me this year. Maybe a couple of bottles of wine, some nice scotch, something. I don't know. Maybe, you know, send him and his special someone on vacation somewhere, because he will not catch the majority of the heat this season because of that. It's weird. You know, we talked about this the other day. Judging what good football looks like with the Jets as the team setting the bar right now and letting that be what makes the Giants look so much better than they are right now. What we will accept for acceptable football. The bar is so much lower than it ever was. And I think for Jones right now, he could take advantage of that too. I can't be running around that open strip. Carla, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Want to get to some of the tweets as well in reference to this, and we'll do that right now, at Chris Carlin over on Twitter. This from Big Mouth Yank. The experience of youth hopefully will fade over time. This is in reference to Jones. He can move, so I expect he will figure it out if the O-line doesn't kill him first. That is the big thing that Jones has, that it's not that Darnold doesn't. He does too. But Jones has it at another level. Jones has it where he could actually run the football and be effective in that. I'm telling you, I am not going to be shocked if the Giants start to incorporate more RPOs this week. And they have a couple of designed runs for Jones, assuming that he can get down on the ground, because it's just going to help their run game a little bit. And more than that, it's just going to help their offense and make the 49ers respect what they're doing whether it's throwing the football or make him respect that Jones could actually go and do that. Again, I'm talking about 5-6 times. I don't want to get the guy killed. I don't want to get him hurt at all. But just remember what he did in college. This is somebody that, even with sacks factored in, rushed for 1,300 yards and 16 touchdowns in college. Now, when I say sacks factored in, I said this the other day. In college football, rushing stats of a quarterback are affected when he gets sacked. Rushing yardage gets deducted from the quarterback and from the team, depending on sacks. So Jones really rushed for something more like 1,700 yards over a few years there. So I think that's something that they should look at. Dennis at Yappy Yappo 99 over on the Twitter. Darnold was labeled as the second coming and in his third year, which means he should be further along than Jones, who's been mocked and labeled as a joke since the second he was drafted. Well, look, there's no doubt that many, many people, including this rather fat-headed individual sitting here, were very skeptical about the Daniel Jones pick. I don't think so far you can say Dave Gettleman was wrong. I don't think definitively you could say he was right, but I don't think you could say he was wrong. Ben on Twitter, Jones has shown a lot more promise than Darnold. As a Giants fan, I feel pretty good about him, and he hasn't had a guru like Gase coaching him for 2 years with a wink emoji. Well, that's fair to say, and I'll tell you what. If you have Darnold not playing well this year, and let's just argue for a second that the Jets don't end up with the number one pick. So they're not going to put themselves in a position to have to make a decision about Trevor Lawrence. If that's the case, and Darnold is here next year, still as the starting quarterback, and he develops under somebody else besides Gase, what an indictment that is. What a remarkable indictment that is. I mean, when you look at Ryan Tannehill, now granted, he's got Derrick Henry in that run game, but still, he was hurt a lot of the time that Gase was in Miami, half the time, in fact. Played only half the games that Gase coached in 3 years. But still, he's gone somewhere else. He's been better. Let's check in with, let's hit the phones next. Let's get our guy, Frankie, who is in Long Island. He is up next on 98.7 ESPN. Frankie, what's up, bud?
What's up, brother? I got a point and a question for you. But before I get to that, why is everybody comparing Jones to Sam this much when Jones has, they're talking about Jones like he doesn't have all these weapons at wide receiver? The Giants always do so well with getting their quarterbacks wide receivers.
But, well, they're saying right now, I mean, if you look at them right now, they don't have all these weapons at wide receiver. Golden Tate looks old, doesn't look like a big factor anymore. And they have Darius Slayton and Ingram, but Ingram hasn't shown that he's a great player by any stretch, and Sterling Shepard's out.
I got you,
but
all right.
No, really, this is more about me comparing the fact that I'm not comparing Jones to Darnold. What I'm saying is that Jones should be very thankful that Darnold is in this town this year and is in year three, a year ahead of him, because he's the one who's catching all the heat this season.
Yep. So my point is, isn't this like the biggest form of nepotism? Like, you have Adam Gase coached Ryan Tannehill, and he winds up and does horribly with him, and then he gets a job, head coach job, and now all of a sudden Ryan Tannehill is looking like a star.
Well, it's not nepotism, but it is. I mean, I guess if you were to have people scream about white privilege, that you could look at Adam Gase from that standpoint. But I don't think it's even that. I think it's more that Gase. I think it's more that Peyton Manning called up Christopher Johnson and said, you should hire this guy. So he did.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But my question, real quick question, is what do you think? Do you think we'll be able to, because I don't see us passing on Trevor Lawrence, do you think that it's possible to get something back for Sam if we were to trade him and wind up getting his first pick for Trevor Lawrence?
Frankly, I think it depends on how the rest of the year plays out, and thanks for the call. I think it's more about that. If Sam shows he can play a little bit, but they honestly feel like they can't pass on Trevor Lawrence, then maybe. But it's not like they're going to get a first-round pick for Sam. Like, that's not going to happen. It's going to be... I mean, I can't believe we're talking about this in week two, but honestly, we're talking about this and it's legit in week two, going into week three, that you honestly don't know if this quarterback is the guy and the Jets are so bad, you may be talking about the number one pick. Wow. I mean, it's beyond sad, but it's accurate. You're going to see Jacksonville tonight. Jacksonville has played so well in the first two games of the year, even though they're 0-2, that they are 3.5-point favorites tonight against the Dolphins. 3.5-point favorites against the Dolphins. The Jaguars were supposed to be, coming into the year, one of the all-time worst teams to ever step foot on an NFL field. And they haven't been. And they're favored tonight. They have played their asses off. It's been impressive from that standpoint. Boy, I'll tell you what, it just speaks to how bad the Jets have been. Eric in Brooklyn is next, 98.7 ESPN. Eric, what's going on, dude?
Hey, Chris. Big fan. Listen all the time.
Why?
Including your cameos on the Case Show. And so I have one kind of silly little point and then my real reason I called. So, silly point, I thought you had the, you know, DiPietro takes way too many liberties and does not get called out for anything.
In reference
and your,
to
your remark on one time on the Case Show saying if anyone knows about him stealing, it's DiPietro was classic.
But the best part about Rick is I can say that to Rick. You know, Rick loves to.
Well, I'm sure he does.
Break stones. You know, that's his deal.
Yeah, and so Rick needs to get more slack on him because he's killing you. He's killing Peter about
that's
his
okay.
arm hair.
Listen,
anyway,
we get Rick occasionally. We yes. absolutely get him, but it's all good and it's all in good fun. And that's the thing is like being here. These guys, I'll tell you what, it is a great atmosphere to be around all these guys because everybody really operates like they're on the same team and are incredibly supportive of one another. I love that.
That's why you're a great station. And so here's the reason I called.
Sure.
And I'm so glad that I followed a caller that actually pointed out something. You agreed for me and made my argument. So the Giants, and to talk about how, you know, they have plenty of weapons and Darnold doesn't, they don't have all these weapons that they're talking about, you know. And you already explained the reasons, so I won't get into them. But my big point is, why did Gettleman not pursue a trade for DeAndre Hopkins when he was available? And basically, you know, Jim O'Brien gave him away for peanuts, and he admitted one of the reasons is because he could only trade him to a certain number of teams that had rookie or level quarterbacks, mm-hmm. young quarterbacks on the payroll because no one else had the room for him, which the Giants are.
And he wanted to trade him out of the conference too.
Well, I doubt they're as worried about the Giants. But,
no, that's what I mean. The Giants would
exactly.
have fit that.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So I don't see – how do you not give Daniel Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, weapon for the next –
that was available to the Giants, Eric. I mean, that's the problem for me. Thanks for the call. I think that you have to know that whether or not Dave Gettleman was actually presented with that, if he was actually aware that DeAndre Hopkins was available. Or did Bill O'Brien just call up Steve Keim and try to make a deal there? I don't know the answer to that. If, in fact, DeAndre Hopkins was made available and Dave Gettleman knew it and it was a similar price tag, well, that's just gross incompetence. But we don't know that for sure. And I can't pin that one on him. Speaking of incompetence, oh, the locks of incompetence, they are coming up very, very soon. And if you're not familiar, here's the deal on the locks of incompetence. I have tried every which way possible over the last 10 years to come up with ways to pick games effectively. Facts, just going through all kinds of statistics, trying to build cases, looking at, you know, injuries, everything, you name it. I've tried everything. I even one year tried the opposite, the George Costanza approach, and ignored my every instinct and went with the opposite of my instinct, and that didn't work. So this year, because of my incompetence in picking games, I have decided that I will simply go and find a fun fact or just a bizarre fact about some of these cities. Whoever's playing the Giants every week, whoever's playing the Jets every week, whether I'm going to pick the Jets or Giants, whatever fact I find to be superior of that week about the individual town or state or anything. For instance, last week I lost because I picked the Minnesota Vikings because it turns out the state of Minnesota produces as many turkeys every year as there are people in California. Think about that for a second. That's loco talk. I mean, how can you not pick a team that is in the state that does that with turkeys? That's amazing. So, that's the plan. So far, not terrible. 4-2 through 2 weeks. We have your week 3, locks of incompetence, on the way in just a little bit. More of your calls on the open lines at 800-919-3776 and your tweets as well. How much Daniel Jones should frankly just be thankful that Sam Darnold is in this city and catching all the heat in 2020. I want to spend a few minutes on Sam Darnold from this standpoint. All week long, we heard about how the Jets did not have particularly sharp practices the first couple of weeks of the season. We heard that from Bradley McDougal. We heard that from Avery Williamson. So as you would expect, on his day to speak to the media, which is today, Sam Darnold was asked about that by Rich Cimini. Here was his response.
I think for us, it's about going out there, doing our job, and, you know, bringing the energy that we need to be able to execute and stay attentive. I think for some guys, it may look different than others. Now, as players, we obviously understand and can tell when the energy is lacking. And, you know, I think practice is a very safe space for guys to be able to talk about, you know, what they feel. And, you know, if they feel like guys aren't giving the right effort, to be able to speak about it. So, if that's how guys feel and, they want to talk about it, you know, that's a safe space. You know, we all love each other and we want nothing but the best for each other. And I think that's where it comes from.
That's a safe space. That's a safe space. If we want to talk about that, it's a safe space. What a nice thought. It automatically makes me think that is a quote that maybe we should put through the BS translator. What do you think?
Let's put this through the BS translator.
Oh, here's what came out. Shut up unless it's in practice and you want to bring it up then. Don't talk about that publicly. When you say it's a safe space to talk about how bad practice is, it means we don't need to be talking about that publicly. That's Sam trying to take a leadership position, and I don't blame him. I get it. And we've heard that a couple of times this week. We heard it from Gase, and we heard it from Sam. And if that's the, you know, if you're going to be a teammate in that spot, and call out your teammates publicly, maybe you need to have said it in practice as well. This is a fair point. I have no problem with Bradley McDougald, with Avery Williamson, speaking up about what is the truth with this team. McDougald comes from a winning organization with the Seattle Seahawks. He absolutely has every right to speak up when they are not getting it done. And in practice, it's been, well, lackluster. He comes from a place where the coach treats them respectfully, I should say. And everybody gets their job done and plays with an urgency during practice because it's time to go to work. So when McDougal comes in here and sees that and he speaks out about it, I don't have a problem with that. But what you really are getting the sense of is that Williamson or McDougal, they never said this privately. They never said this to their teammates. They just said it publicly. It's one thing if you want to say it publicly, but you have better said it behind this, have said it behind the scenes. Now, I think what happened with McDougald was this. First couple of weeks of the season, he sees some things he doesn't like with practice. But, you know, he's a new guy. He's still trying to blend in, fit in, all that. And then they get their doors blown off by the 49ers. And he has a frustrating moment, and he starts speaking about it. And he says, yeah, our practices have not been that sharp. And I have no question that he would have no problem saying that directly to his teammates, but you have to have done that first if you want the message later to be more effective. Because I do get guys looking at you saying, why don't you speak up before when we're out there practicing? So if you don't, and you're going to call out teammates, you lose their respect. Look, that whole thing of how the dynamic works inside of a team is very delicate. You know, there are so many underlying rules that you have to go according to that if I'm Sam and I'm those guys right now, I think that you understand that this just became a bigger story because of the fact that you're 0-2 and because the media immediately thought that McDougald, that Avery Williamson, that they were pointing the finger at Adam Gase. They were not. They were pointing the finger at their teammates. They were saying, as players, we need to be better during practice. So when Sam goes out there and says something like that, he's trying to be at the top. He's trying to be that leader. We've talked about the fact that he's a guy that's a little bit more quiet. And there have been plenty of quiet leaders that have made it work over the years by their actions. I really got the sense that even though it's in that little clip and he says it in just his Sam, very matter-of-fact tone of voice and, you know, just so understated, that was as ticked off as he could be, saying we have a safe space. It's in our practice. That's where we say it. But the translation of that was clearly, shut up publicly, especially if you're not going to say it privately. I get that. I just think now all these kinds of things are creating problems for the Jets that are self-inflicted. They're just, they can't get out of their own way with this a lot. And Gase at times is just painfully honest about this stuff. You know, there are so many ways to just kind of downplay it, but he can't win right now. The only way he can win is to win. That's it.
He said, find your way back. Big, big world, but you got it, baby. Find your way back.
Don't let this. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. I'll talk about the funniest thing I have read. I'll get that to you in just a little bit. Right now, our guy Tony in Bridgeport is next on 98.7 ESPN. Tony, what's up, kid?
Hey, how you doing? Hello?
Oh, Tony, what's going on?
Hey, I'm a huge fan. I listen to you every night, and I teach journalism to high school students, and you do such a great job of sourcing and just bringing great stories every night, and I just wanted to thank you for that. You're great.
That's very, very kind of you to say, and pretty inaccurate, but we'll take it.
So who I also think is pretty great is Joe Douglas. I've been a big fan of the things he's done. One major criticism I have of him, however, is, you know, I understand not bringing in a lot of big money people from the outside for this season, but to have let Robbie Anderson walk for, according to Rich Cimini, was a savings of like just over $5 million. Mm-hmm. For the target and the comfort and the rapport that Sam Darnold had with Robbie Anderson, who I believe has had 200-yard games for the Panthers or close to it.
Yes, he's played very, very well so far.
I mean, how is that $5 million looking in the bank right now compared to how the Jets are playing? I mean, that was just a horrible idea.
Tony, I think it's a fair criticism right now with as well as he's playing. I think the problem, though, is the Jets, I just think they thought he was only so good. I don't think they think he's that great of a player. I honestly don't.
I could see if the Panthers were signing him for $18 million a year. But,
I'm sorry?
You know, if they were signing him for $18 million a year, it would be one thing.
Yeah.
But for an extra $5 million bucks to have that depth and that familiarity on the receiver core is well worth the money.
Well, it's absolutely true right now, and thanks for the call, through a couple of weeks of the year. I think that's fair. I think the other problem, though, is he going to be that consistent all season long? And if you want to knock them for it, I think that's totally fair that they were wrong about where he was in his development. If he has developed all of a sudden into a number one receiver, a true one, then they missed the boat. I'm still in the camp that I'm not sold on Robbie Anderson for the long term, but I may be wrong on that one. Let's try Frankie again, shall we? Frankie in the Bronx, you there, Frankie?
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Oh, it's going, big cat. What do you got?
I just wanted to say I don't agree with you on what you said about if Jones has a good game, it looks bad for Darnold. And the reason I say that, there's a lot of different things in play there. San Francisco's Moisard, he's not going to play in the game. He's kind of hurt. You know, the quarterback, Garoppolo, is also kind of hurting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just a big difference
there. Well, no, I'm talking about against the defense, specifically the quarterback matchup.
Well, the defense took a lot of hits also from San Francisco on the weekend.
Most of that happened earlier in the game last week. So the Jets, in essence, we're facing the same defense that the Giants will be this week.
Right, and I understand
that. Got hurt early in that game.
But what I'm also trying to say is that ball control plays a big thing on it. If San Francisco can't control the ball, they're going to give it up to the Giants pretty quick, and they get more opportunities to make more plays.
Look, I think that if you want to look at the Giants this week and evaluate Jones – versus what Darnold did last week, I think it's fair. I think it's totally fair. I know what you're saying about ball control, about all that other stuff. Here's
right.
The bottom line. Jones is going to be down as many weapons as Darnold is, with the exception of maybe Evan Engram. You know? And yes, I should say that Darius Slayton is a very, very good receiver. He is going to be out there. I don't think Golden Tate's got much left. Is it as bad as the Jets? It's not quite as bad, but he's down Sterling Shepard, and he's down Saquon Barkley.
Okay. And one
he
more
doesn't
thing.
Have good offensive line play from the outside at all.
One more thing?
Yeah.
I loved you when you was on Loudmouths. You were great, man. and you're doing great work, you know, on ESPN. Keep it up. You know, you the man. You got a good shift there, all right? Take care, Frankie. Buddy.
You're a good brother. I appreciate
all
that.
Right.
Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye. I mean,
it could be my brother. I've got four of them, for Pete's sake. But, Frankie, yeah, I appreciate that. You're a good dude. Thank you. Very, very nice of you to say. That feels like a lifetime ago. It was a lot of fun with Shine and a lot of fun with John Hine, too. I miss Loudmouths. It was good. Danny in Queens is next, 98.7 ESPN. Danny, go.
Yeah, what's going on? Great show tonight. I'm enjoying it very much. I just wanted to touch on the Jets. I definitely think what McDougal is saying, that it is definitely with the practices, that it totally has to do with the coach, because it really has to do with the coaches under him. And they're the ones that have to tell the players to get it together in practice. And I don't feel like it's the players' job to do that. And I also think it shows that it's more true because Williamson backed him up, and he was here last year. So the players are definitely frustrated, and I think Gase just ultimately has to give it up. And it's strange because the digression of Darnold has to also, it has a lot to do with the last two games. And if you see his first game, I think ever versus the Lions, it'll show he was way better. So, I mean, I have no clue what's going on.
Look, I don't think for a second that they were talking about the coach. Because they've said they weren't talking about the coach. I don't think they were. I think when guys make comments like that, like we haven't had sharp practices, they're talking about the other players on the field because those are the guys who are getting paid to go out there and be sharp during practice to get ready for the game. I don't think they were talking about Gase in that instance. Now, if you want to argue that Gase bears responsibility in that too, absolutely that's true. Absolutely that's true.
I can
but
see
I put
your
the majority
point.
Of I that can... on the players because they're the ones that ultimately have to go and get it done.
I see your point, and I agree with you. I just hope they get it together sometime soon because this is just too much for me.
I understand, Danny. There's some pain involved in this, and thanks for the call. And I can
all right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Take it easy.
Yeah, I appreciate everything, man, but it's getting to be too much. Really is like that Curb Your Enthusiasm. The Jets just got to be too much for him. If you're not watching Curb, I mean, I can't help you. All right.
Richard. Hi, Chris. Chris, I got a question for you. I don't think you'll get the answer, but I'm going to help you through it. There are 32 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the NFL, correct?
Yes.
Which quarterback has thrown in the first two games for more yards than everyone except Josh Allen, Matt Ryan, and Dak Prescott? In other words, he's number four in yards thrown for two games except for those three guys. He's ahead of the other 28.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I talking
about?
I
would say that it's probably Teddy Bridgewater.
How did you? Because you know how I think. That's right. And the Jets 2 years ago gave him.
I mean, Teddy Bridgewater has thrown for a lot of yards so far, too.
That's right. And the Jets had him and gave him up for a fourth round draft choice. This is an organization problem. Sam Darnold is not the problem. The problem is the organization. In the old days, they would have kept Bridgewater just in case this guy failed Darnold and let him sit on the bench for it. They are at a point now they have no choice but to play this guy. That's the problem. And you know what? At the time, all the sportscasters on the radio were saying, oh, that's a great trade. They weren't going to get anything for him. And, you know, he was surplus ammunition. We didn't need him. This guy was a damn good quarterback. He was insurance for Darnold if he failed. And he was a proven I forgot who he had a big year before. And they got and they,
he
went
did
to the
in
Jets.
His first couple of years had, before the major injury.
No, a big year before he was traded to the Jets. He was on a good team and he played well. I don't remember who. And he had value. He had more than a fourth round value. And the Jets just gave him up for free. That was ridiculous.
They didn't give him up for free.
The fourth round draft choice.
Was it that little?
That was it. That was it. I remembered calling up radio stations saying, this guy should be a one or a two. He's that valuable. That's right. He backed up Drew Brees. Now
the
I
Jets
remember.
Got a third.
The Jets
got a third round pick. Third.
Oh, third round.
Third round pick.
Okay, but that's a New Orleans third round pick.
Yeah, it's a third round pick, Richard. Don't start parsing picks.
Well, in other words, it was a. I mean, they could have done a lot better than that.
I don't know that they could have at the time.
Then why didn't they keep him?
Because, Richard, they were going to give him a fair chance to go and be a starter somewhere, because that's obviously what he wanted. He didn't want to be here.
He might have wanted to stay and maybe fight it out with Donald for the number one shot at the Jet quarterback. See, in the old days, you kept a good backup. You kept a proven veteran around. I mean, now all the money is on Donald, and this is the problem.
Yeah,
it's not his fault.
No, I understand it's not his fault. Thanks for the call, Richard. The problem
is
with him, with Darnold right now, he doesn't have anybody else around him, but he has to start making guys better. At some point, it has to stop being about... It has to stop being about what you don't have. It has to start being about what you do have and how you're going to get better. Okay. You don't have all pros at every position. That doesn't mean you can't improve. And I'm sure he's trying to improve. You want to be fair in an evaluation. I do have a feeling that if the Jets don't get the number one overall pick, that Sam will be the quarterback next year. The only way that's not going to happen is if they somehow get Trevor Lawrence. If they have the shot to get Trevor Lawrence, Sam will be gone. I'm very confident of that being the case, because I'm confident of that being the case for virtually 60% of the teams around the NFL with who their quarterbacks are. That if they feel like Trevor Lawrence is a franchise guy, then that's where they're headed.
I really wanna know where you at. I was at that. Where the stash at? Cruise the city in a bulletproof
car. It is that time on this Thursday night, since we don't have a show tomorrow with the weekend wager and some more NBA playoff action, that we bring you our NFL picks. Now, I have tried a new way of going about things for this season, and it is simply this, for those who are unaware. Through the first 2 weeks of the year, I have picked an obscure fact about a game, about each team involved, about the city or state where they are from. And whatever I find most interesting, I use that fact and select that town or team. Because I've tried every other way, and it just doesn't work. I have no skill at picking games. So with that being said, we bring you Week 3's edition of the Locks of Incompetence.
He's tried everything. Analysis. Instinct. Facts. Coin flips. Magic 8-Balls. Scientology. If picking NFL games is right, you can count on him to be wrong. It's time for Carlin's Locks of Incompetence.
Yes. Leave that music up. Locks of Incompetence. We begin with the Colts, who are 11.5-point favorites over the New York Jets. Did you know that Indianapolis is the largest major U.S. city that is not located on a navigable river? Colts minus 11.5 over the Jets. Pick two. The Giants, 4-point underdogs to the 49ers. Did you know that New Jersey has a state seashell? It is the knobbed whelk, and it is known to be used in the Italian dish scungili. Giants plus 4 over the 49ers. And finally, the Rams visiting the Bills. The Bills are 2.5-point favorites over the Rams. Did you know that the air conditioner was invented in Buffalo? Bills minus 2.5 over Los Angeles. This week's locks of incompetence. Felt good to get that off my chest. 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN. Let us return to the calls, friends. And let us check in with Justice in the Bronx. Justice, what's going on with
hey,
you?
Hey, Colin, how you doing, my brother?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing very well, man. So proud of you, loving your line. I'm glad everything is right, glad your family's right. But thank I want to go directly at you, if you don't mind.
Go.
Yo, I know we live in New York. I know we got the Jets. I know we got the Giants. I know we got the Knicks. Let's stop talking about losers, man. What do you think is going to the finals of the NFL, and what do you think is going to the finals of the NBA? I want to hear about winning, man. I understand you're taking care of your people. That's a corporate thing. That's a community thing.
No, it's, not a, it's not a corporate or community thing. It's a
hug thing. You know, I want to make you feel better, whatever. But, yo, we suck. We know. Let it go. Yeah. Who's going to the finals? Who's going to the championship? That's what I want to hear. All this losing, yo, life is crazy right now. It's really sad. Let's stop talking about this sadness, man. I want to hear about winners.
Okay.
I'm so proud of that dude in Miami yesterday. That young boy.
He was tremendous.
Yo, rock out, man. You know what? That's a blessing. That made me feel good. I'm not even a Miami fan, but, yo, a young cat, yo, go ahead. Go do that, man. Make everybody smile. I want to talk about smiles. You over here disappointing me while I'm driving. I'm getting really sad, and I got to see my kids, and I got to buy food and all that. Now I don't even want to buy them what they want to get. All
don't
I'm
blame
to say
me.
Is, let's talk.
Blame the Jets and Giants. They're the ones who are sucking.
But why are we talking about them? They losers. You understand what I'm saying? I know you mandated to do what you got to do. I don't want to talk about losers. Matter of fact, okay. Colin, you're a winner. Let's talk about more of your life. You understand what I'm saying? Just tell me what the Lakers, what time they're going to win, and in NFL, what team you going to think going to take it. Because honestly speaking, it's up for grabs. And I'm so proud of Cam Newton, and I'm not even a Patriot fan. I just want to talk about the best of the best. I think people need people, and everybody need positive. So let's talk about smiles. All this negative, Sam Arnold, yo, go to the bathroom, my brother. Yo, David Dimes, yo, leave me alone. You see what I'm saying? Like, yo, it's nothing. But you understand what I'm saying. You're laughing,
I hear you, Justice.
You understand
Thank
what I'm
you.
Saying.
Thank you for the call. Here's the deal. All right, you want it, here you got it. Okay? First of all, I said at the beginning of the year the Vikings were going to the Super Bowl. I mean, how bad does that look right now? I don't know what I was thinking with that, but Kirk Cousins stinks, and I should have known that. Oh, my God. What am I thinking about? Anyway, you know, I am still on the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are the best team in football. I absolutely believe that. They are the most complete team in football. So I am still on the Ravens going to the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. As far as the NFC, right now, you know, I just think it's so wide open. It's so wide open, especially now what happened with the 49ers. The biggest problem right now is the injuries are just piling up on everyone. So why would I think that's not going to continue, right? I mean, I'm not trying to cop out on it. I also don't have an NFC team right now that I can look at and say, yeah, that's it. And as far as the finals, I think it's going to be the Lakers and the Heat, and I think it's going to be a great series. I think the Lakers win tonight. I'll be shocked if they don't. Shocked if they don't.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.